This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. For more information, go to www.berwynag.org.
Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. He has injured us, but He will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, He will revive us, and on the third day, He will restore us, that we may live in His presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. The great promise here is the promise of healing. So much has happened in the lives of these that they have gone through. They were shell-shocked by all the things that they had experienced. Most of those judgments and the problems that they had experienced were because of their own disobedience to God. And I kind of recognize that a little bit in my own life. But the promise of healing, the promise of the right to return to Him, the promise of this ingathering is all contingent upon one thing, the return. The return to the Lord. Prayer. We love to talk about prayer in the church, but we don't like to do it. We love to talk about it, but we don't. If you want to have a very small gathering, just announce that you're going to have a prayer meeting. And people will find ways to make excuses not to be there. And if they can't think of one, the devil will give them one. A reason not to be in a place of prayer. This first week of the year in 2008, we are going to have a prayer meeting on that Friday night between 9 o'clock p.m. and midnight. Now, I know some of you wimpy people go, midnight? Is God even up at midnight? But He is. And He saw what you did at midnight before you were a Christian. And so let's convert to someone who says, well, what am I going to do with my kids? Leave them home with the old man. I'm not kidding. Let the wife stay home. Because the following morning, the spouse that didn't come to prayer can come prayer in the morning. That's the old whoosh, whoosh. You get it. You can start this new year off with prayer. That's my commercial. The foundation of prayer. How is it that we have the right to come in the presence of God? Very quickly this morning. We do not presume. We do not assume that we have the right to come into God's presence. We have been invited in by God Himself. Look here, it says, come, come, let us return to the Lord. That is the prophetic response saying, listen, God's invited us back in. Why would God invite sinful, adulterous people back into His presence? Because He loves us so greatly. Sometimes the enemy of your soul will tell you as you begin to pray that you have no right to stand before Him, before God. And in some respects, he's right, but in many respects, he's wrong because already you have been invited. You are an invited guest. You remember Cinderella, the story of Cinderella? How many of you remember it? Oh, yeah. I'm living it out right now. And just get the vision. And remember Cinderella? She was invited to the ball. She had no right to be there, you know, right? But the bluebirds made a dress for her, as I recall. And she was brought into the presence of the king by his invitation. At no other time, and interestingly, he was looking for a bride. Well, there's some spiritual parallel to Cinderella. I just figured it out right now. I'm having revelation up here as I'm speaking. Cinderella is us. We have no right to be in the presence of God, but somehow God has fitted us with the glass slipper of Jesus' righteousness. And we can now go into the presence of the King. by his own invitation. I was one of those guys who used to sneak in the back door of the club. You know what I'm talking about? Whose friends would hit the panic bar and open the door and I'd slip in, you know? I was one of those guys. I was one of the guys who used to hide in the trunk to get into the drive-in movie. Now, for some of you who are young, oh, yeah. Now, for some of you who are young, let me explain. They used to have movies on big screens. And you drove your car in there and you put the cheapest possible speaker on your window. And everything sounded like this. But you watched the movie without leaving the front seat of your car. Like a drive-through restaurant with movies. And it was great because all the food that you spilled on the floor, the next day you could eat it because you knew it was in your car. Yes. I was the guy that they locked in the trunk to get in, to sneak in. I knew that I was in a lot of places that I had no right to be. So when I come before the presence of God, it's easy for the enemy to say, you have no right to be here, but I want to tell you this morning, I want to tell you, we have every right to be in the presence of God when we pray. Because although not too long ago I had no right to be there, once the Lord gave me his own personal invitation, I have every right to be there. Amen. I have every right to step into his presence. So I could get preaching about this, but this isn't even really the issue. We come because we're invited in. We stand there not on our own, because we stand by the work of Jesus Christ. I'm able to stand in the presence of Almighty God because of what Jesus did. I come not as an outsider, some stranger who wandered in. We have this family member. I won't tell you who she is because this is going to be on the internet and I don't want her to hear this. But one day she came to my mom's house and rang the bell. It was a holiday. All the family was gathered and the doorbell rang. And I went and answered the door and I said, "Hey, Mom, this person's here." And she said, "Oh, no." Well, that's actually not what she said, but I can't repeat that in church, what she really said. Come on, you got family members like that. You just spent Christmas with them, didn't you? "Oh, he's here? Oh, no." Yeah, I don't want to get too far down that lane because I got stories. Those people who don't fit in. We aren't those people who don't fit in anymore. We are not outsiders. We are children of God. We come in because we're his kids, because we've been invited. We stand there in his presence because of what he's done for us and what he's done in us, and in faith, believing that he's going to do something through us. We ask not on our own. I don't come in the name of Dave. I come in the name of Jesus. Prayer is this great foundation that we have to come into his presence. Now, prayer has a lot of different facets. And real quickly, I just want to run through these. I think when this next slide comes up, I put them all up there so you can write them down if you want to. But these are just different facets of what prayer is. In my time with the Lord, it begins with adoration, because I believe that it's important for us to first enter into the Lord's presence with praise and with worship. Praise is me giving thanks to God for what he's done. You know, worship is me giving honor to God for who he is. That's real simplistic for me, but that's how I define them. So I could say, "Thank you, God, for delivering me." Or I could say, "Thank you, Lord," or "I worship you, Lord, because you are a deliverer." And often what God has done and what God is reveal themselves in those contexts. And adoration is the way I come into his presence. Somebody once told me, "I just don't know how to pray." Here's the roadmap to prayer. So you begin with adoration and you begin to pray and to thank him and give praise to him for who he is. Then confession. Both the confession of what God has said about you, like, "I am your child." You may not feel like God's child today, but according to his word, you are his child. So you may not feel like a son of God, but when you walk into the presence of God, you should be acting like a son of God when you walk into His presence. And so you're able to come in there. So not only the confession of what God says about you in His Word, but the confession of you and contrition over your own sins, or maybe the lack of the omissions of things that He's asked you to do. And I don't want to belabor each of these points, but we have to be able to come in and have a clean slate. I can't pursue any further until I know I've made right the things He asked me to do. The other day, he told me, I want you and your wife to pray together. He knew her name, but you know, I'm just telling you. I want you and your wife to pray together about a specific thing, and I confessed to you that I didn't follow through on that. And all day long, I felt like, I know there's going to come a time when this will fit in, and it just never fit in. How many of you ever done that? So the next morning, when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I said, Lord, and he said, hey, talk to the hand. That's not what he really said, but that's how I felt. Because I knew he'd already given me instructions, and I failed to follow those instructions. Why should he give me any more? Somebody say amen to that. Because God didn't stutter. You know, he knew exactly what he was saying to me, and I just wasn't obedient to that. So when I step into the presence of God, there's some things I have to make right. So I had to say, Lord, okay, I know you told me to do that, and I'm getting to that. I really am. I was looking for opportunity there, and I was weak. I should have snatched that opportunity. And so when I came into the presence of God, he spoke that to me. And so I knew that I had to make that right. So I confessed my sin. And some of you say, well, if I have to confess all my sins, I'll be there all day. Yeah, but the next day will be short, I hope. Right? I mean, you say, well, are we not forgiven if we don't confess our sins? Listen, I don't confess my sins so he'll know about them. He already knows about them. He sent his son to die for him. I confess them so that I can see him. We kind of do drive-through prayer. Oh, Lord, give me one of these. Give me a Moby Jack and a diet and a double order fries or whatever, cheese fries, you know, because there's nothing like a potato after you cook all the ingredients out of it to just slather it with fat. Anyway, so we do prayer like that, and we come through, but prayer can't be done like that. Prayer, you have to have time for prayer. Yeah, and you have to be able to sit in His presence and say, now, Lord, you know, have I ticked you off? Have I offended you, God? You say, oh, God is a God of love. He would never be ticked off and offended. Read the rest of the book of Hosea. Because it takes 5 chapters to get to this chapter. You got to go through 5 chapters of judgment and accusation, and God's not all that happy with the people of Israel. And finally, when this comes out, it's like a big relief. Whew. God's a God of love. He's inviting us back into His presence instead of thunderbolts from heaven. So I come into His presence and I say, God, I have to confess to you. And sometimes I don't even know the things. You know, sometimes I don't even know how. Look, you say, how could you not even know how you offend God? Listen, I'm married. And there are times when my wife will start acting differently. Come on, man, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? You're going, did I say something? Come on, now you know what I'm talking about. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. And she says, you know what you did. And I'm like, honestly, babe, I do not know. I do not know. I am completely clueless. I am innocent, I think, of all wrongdoing. God never does that. God never says, oh, you know what you did. God never does that. God says, if you give me time, I'll point it out to you. Then the Lord said, remember when I told you to do that and you didn't do it? Yeah, I'm sorry. And it's a lot relational like that, isn't there? Yes. You know, in between the Lord and us, it is like a marriage. I mean, my wife will be walking, I'll go, but honey, you know, as I'm walking behind her and she's walking real fast. You know, I didn't mean anything when I said that about your mom. I really didn't mean that. It was a joke. Well, now you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, stretch your hands toward me and pray for me. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. See, even when we're not intending to offend, we offend. Although I don't think you ever offend me like that. I think it's just me. I'm a jerk. I just realized that. It's revelation. She never offends me like that. Or maybe I'm just too thick-headed to even notice it. But she never, but I offend her because I just say stuff that shouldn't be said, and you know, probably because I'm thinking stuff that shouldn't be thought. Right? Right? Looking at things that shouldn't be looked at, right? Reading things I shouldn't read. Listening to stuff I shouldn't listen to. I'm a mess. So God, when we come into his presence, he says, this is what you did. Let's make it right. Come now, let us reason together, one of the other prophets said. Amen. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. What a gracious offer from God. Take him up on it. Take him up on it. What a gracious offer from God that your sins could be white as snow. Amen. It happens because we can come into his presence in prayer, because we can adore him and we can confess our wrong. Then there's thanksgiving, and then we need the attitude of gratitude. You know that. We just came through that. It has more to do than turkey. It has a lot to do with really understanding what you've been given. Sometimes you need to make a list of your blessings. Sometimes you just need to recount them. The other day, I was just telling somebody this morning, the other day I was sitting on the couch and just thinking what it takes to run a church. And just thankful for this one who does that, and that one who does this, and this one who's always there doing that, and the faithfulness of people to work on their own time. And it's just what it takes. It's just a miracle. I just think, Lord, it's a miracle that this thing even works at all. But it's amazing. And you become thankful as you kind of roll back. And we need to take time to do that. Yet that doesn't happen with drive-through prayers. That's soaking time in the presence of God, where you can let that thanksgiving build up in you. Lord, I thank you for that one. And pray a blessing on them. Lord, thank you that they stayed up late to do that. Bless them, Lord. Lord, thank you that they got in early to do that. Bless them, Lord. And really try to be thankful for all the things that happen, not just in the church, but in your life. There are people who have been praying for you. I think of my grandmother, who, and I was too stupid to even recognize the power of grandma's prayers in the presence of God. I was out smoking and joking and toking, and grandma was praying somewhere for me, calling out to God and save my grandchildren. I didn't even know what salvation was. I wouldn't have known what salvation was if it had landed on my head. But grandma was praying that prayer. And even after I came to the Lord, I didn't recognize that my grandmother really knew Jesus the way because her prayers were so, I was so separated from her. And I remember in Bible college one day I was sitting around, and the Lord just revealed to me, her prayers are what brought you into the kingdom. And I wrote her a great letter, you know, that I sent off to her praying for her. At the time she was not doing well. She was in a bout of cancer. And so I just prayed for her in the letter and sent her a blessing in Jesus' name and let her know how thankful I was for her prayers and her concern for me. You know, it's important that we do that. Not just to tell other people, but to tell the Lord. Lord, I thank you for that person who labored in prayer. Lord, I thank you for that person who is always working behind the scenes and doesn't have to be the center of the show, doesn't have to be in the limelight like I do, but doesn't have to be in the center of everything, but they're willing to work and just be a wallflower for Jesus. They're willing to wait for their reward till you come and give it to them. I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of people ahead of us in the line. It's going to be like a club, you know. You know how you get to a club, you know, and you're not the one that looks good enough to be let in. You know what I'm talking about? Come on now. It may have been a while for you, but you know what I'm talking about. You walk up and they go, okay, you got to stay right there. Come on in, ladies. And you're like, but wait a minute. I was here first. And they're like, it's not about who's first. It's about who's last. That's what they're going to say in heaven. The last will be first. Amen. And a lot of people who we don't even know will be saying, who is that old woman up there? Oh, she's faithful intercessor. Because prayer got her ahead of us in line. Because she knew who she was in Jesus. Oh, don't get me started on that. So then there's supplication, the idea that we are making our requests known to God. And this is the highest privilege known to man, to be able to say, God, I want this. God, I desire this. This is my heart. And sometimes during the supplication process, God will need our hearts and show us that the thing that we think we want, we don't really want, and the thing that we know we don't want, those are the things we really do want. Right? Amen. And so God will work that in our life, and so we get into this whole realm where God allows us to be able to share our heart with him. Then there is the empowerment stage. This is the part where I ask God, now this is what I want, God, but now I ask, Lord, give me your power. You say, well, that sounds very selfish. But I know it's the Father's goodwill to give his kingdom to me. The Bible tells me that. I know that he wants to empower his children. Amen?
Yes.
Oh, he doesn't want you to go it alone. He said, I'll be with you to the ends of the age. But he has a big job for you to do, but you have to do it in his power. That was a weak amen.
Amen.
He wants you to do it in his power. Listen, you can't raise that three-year-old in your own power. You'll mess him up. He'll be screwed up. Pastor Mike and I don't want him in counseling later on in his life. So pray. Ask God for empowerment. We want you to get filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by God so that you can have that power to be able to make the right decisions for your children. Then notice it says that we should pray for direction. Because even though we may have the power, you can have the right power in the wrong direction. Yeah, sometimes I get confused. I got all the power I want under the hood of my car, but if I make the wrong turn, I'm going the wrong direction. And so I need to have the right direction, so I need to pray for direction in my own life. Lord, okay, now you've given me your power. Lord, you've called me your son. You promised to give me whatsoever things I ask for in Jesus' name. I've been thankful. I've adored you. I've confessed my sin. Now, Lord, just point me in the right direction. Right? You know what I'm saying? Put me in, coach. You know, I'm ready to play. And so then God will give you some sense of direction. And too many at times we see Christians that don't have any sense of direction. They have tons of theology, a brain full of the word, but they can't get it going in the right direction. You have to have it going in the right direction. And finally, there's warfare. And that's where, and somebody says, oh yeah, I hate those seasons of warfare. Seasons? Warfare is every blessed day. I don't know. You know, people go, yeah, I had a warfare season. Man, I'm in a warfare season since I was 18. We need to take authority over the work of the enemy in our life. We need to take authority over the devil that's trying to undo us. There's two doctrines that cannot be denied in Christianity. I am absolutely convinced of this. Number one, that men are sinners. Just look around. See? Told you. And then the second one, not a perfect one in a bunch right here, right? So we're all sinners. And the second one is that there's a devil. That's why the phone rings when you try to pray. Well, I know it's your sister in the Lord, but who told her to call you then? Really? That's how it happens. There's a lot going on. Prayer is the foundation of our ability to return. Come, let us return to the Lord. And knowing that we can come back into the presence of the Lord is important. And then how we do it, the facets of prayer, that's important as well. Now let me talk to you a little bit about how to facilitate prayer, real quick. Really quick. Number one, there has to be determination for us to pursue God. A.W. Tozer says, nobody ever came into the presence of the Lord on accident. That's a good word right there. Nobody ever stumbled into the presence of the Lord like, whoa, look here, the glory of God. You know, you have to determine that you're going to go in to seek the Lord. You have to pursue God. You say, you have to make a decision. I will seek him. Tozer said, we are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God. That's worth chewing on. An everlasting preoccupation. Oh, but my whole family, they think all I think about is Jesus. Good, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. So we need to pursue God. Just keep moving forward towards him. Because he's the God who rewards those who diligently seek him. That's what the scripture says. Those who diligently seek him get rewarded. And then the second thing we need to do is we need to create a space for prayer. A regular space for prayer. I think you need to have a spot that's your prayer spot. It could be by the fire with a mug of cocoa. Or it could be kneeling by the side of your bed. Or, you know, I'm one of those people, I can pray on the fly, but I need to have a spot. That's my spot right there, actually. I pray there a lot. There's a little wet spot there during bad times. There's no leak in the roof. There's just a leak in my eye. Or I cry out before the Lord, God, here's my spot. You see, everyone, even my mechanic, I have to make an appointment with. I just want him to adjust my carburetor. I just wanted to want them to find out why the service light engine is on, service the engine soon light is on in every one of my cars. Right? It is. Why? Why is that? Dirty devil. Why? I said, look, the service engine soon light is on in every one of my cars. What should I do? I can fit you in on Tuesday. Well, is that what it means when it says service engine soon? I guess that's what it means. I have to have an appointment to go in to see him. So if I'm going to do that, then I need to make an appointment with God. Now you say, well, God hears me wherever I am. I understand. And I really totally understand that you can cry out as your car's going over the edge of a cliff. You don't need an appointment. You know, you can say, Jesus! I understand. Now, those are kind of prayers, you know. But you don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to say, okay, Thursday at 2 o'clock. You know, it's not like that. But you have to have a regular prayer time. You have to have time. And now you say, oh, you're preaching religion. No, I'm just telling you, this is how it works. If you don't have a prayer, you don't have a regular prayer time, guess what'll happen? Something. Something will happen instead of prayer. Something will happen. Come on, it happens. It doesn't make a difference what it is. You'll be like, oh, I was meaning to pray, but it never happened. So you set a regular time. You say, how many hours does it need to be because I'm a spiritual giant? It doesn't need to be hours. I don't have to say, honey, we need to spend some time together. Let's spend the next 24 hours together. She's like, 24 hours? I got stuff I got to do. I don't want to spend it with you. How about we just go out for dinner for an hour? Oh, that's fine. Because, you know, I can be overwhelming. And another great prayer warrior, Andrew Murray, talks about the prayer of sinlessness. And he said the prayer of sinlessness in the church is our lack of discipline to set that time. As we transition out of this year, I look back and say, I wish I would have prayed more then. I wish I would have prayed differently then in my life. And so as we transition, I want to look forward to the new year and say, I'm going to diligently pursue God. And secondly, I am going to make sure that my prayer is at a regular time so that not to be overwhelming, but and it can be convenient. It doesn't have to be in the middle of the night or anything like that. Just to be pursuing God. The Christian who is still carnal has neither disposition nor strength to follow after God. He rests satisfied in the prayer of habit or custom. The blessedness of secret prayer is a hidden thing to him, till someday his eyes are opened and he begins to see that the flesh, in its disposition to turn away from God, is the arch enemy which makes power prayer impossible for him. Think about that. The flesh, we have to see the revelation that our flesh is what's holding us back. Disciplining your own flesh teaches us that. Okay, third thing. I need to let go of my stuff. Hold on loosely, but don't let go. Yeah, I don't have any idea who sang that song. If you cling too tightly, you're gonna lose control. You're gonna lose control. God wants to bless you with stuff. He will give you stuff, but he never wants your stuff to have you. He always wants you to have your stuff. And when you have your stuff, hold it loosely, because God may say, give it away. You know? You ever watch little kids on Christmas? I'm sure some of you did. They get a present, and immediately that present goes, it's mine. Don't you talk. You know? I got two little dogs, you know, and my wife always buys them both the same thing. But when one of them has something, the other one wants it. It's the animal nature in us. We want what he has. Even though we may have a carbon copy, just a different color, right? And so we guard it as if it's our own. We should not be animals. We should be willing to give it away, right? I am not an animal. Right? I'm doing impressions all morning. I'll be here all week. So Final thing is, we need to enter into the Holy of Holies. Sanctification is a process, isn't it? To enter into the holy place of God, it takes a little bit of work, a diligence to pursue. Those high priests didn't wander into the holy place unannounced. They washed themselves. The candles were lit and prepared. The showbread was in place. The sacrifice on the altar happened in the court there. The blood was sprinkled in the appropriate places, and they entered behind the veil. But this week, I was telling Renee that I was, how did they see in the Holy of Holies? If you know, the Old Testament tabernacle had several courts, but the inner court, the inner sanctum, if you will, the holy place was shut off by veils and closed off. There was no light in there. And so once a year, the high priest would go in, and how did he see? What was the light? According to Alfred Edersheim, that they would scoop coals from the altar into a censer, and he would go in with these burning coals as he would walk in there. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of the privilege of the believer to take the coals, the burning work of the sacrifice of Christ, and put it in our hand to be able to walk into the presence of God, so that when we step in there, and the Shekinah glory of God dwelling in that place, and the angels arching over the mercy seat of God, and we walk in there with it, and we can't see anything until we hold up the censer filled with those coals. Always the high priest would hold the censer in his left hand and the incense in his right hand, but on this occasion, because they used a bigger censer to go in there to get more light, he would switch hands, and then he would open the top of the censer in the presence of the Lord, and he would throw in the incense, which is the prayer of the saints. And he would step into the holy place of God, lit by the work of Christ, and offer his prayer before God. That's a powerful vision. It's a powerful vision of what's available to all the high priests of God. You are a kingdom of priests. You have the privilege of prayer before Almighty God. You have a solid gold invitation into His presence. Let us develop this return to be a people of prayer. Will you bow your head with me this morning? Father, more than anything, we are thankful for You. All of the world longs to know Your love. We may disagree with others about minutiae and small theological points, but as Christians, we stand this morning as one, amazed at the grace of a loving Heavenly Father who sends His Son for us. And now You have invited us into Your presence to return to You, to come back into Your holy place, to come in by the work of Christ, and to offer our prayers before You. This morning, we are so thankful for every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven, but especially for the privilege of prayer. I pray over this, Your body, Lord, over these, Your children, these who've received this invitation this morning to come, let us return to the Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would invite them into Your presence, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that they feel compelled to come in. No one will know what happens in the secret place of that prayer, Lord. But though we have been broken, You will heal us. And though we have been torn apart, You will bring us back together. And though we have found ourselves against You, yet, Lord, You will bring us to Your side. I pray, Lord, for unity in families, for healing in the lives of the broken, for a reuniting of those that are estranged from one another, Lord. For a cease from all hostility, Lord God, from all hostility. Because we know that there are families, Lord God, that fuss and fight during this time of the year. And I pray, Lord, that you would let the guard down, Lord. Let love conquer. Let love conquer. May the power of your Spirit guide us and lead us and take us every step of the way. May our hearts be broken before you. I pray, oh God, that you would rend our hearts as we come before you. That you would renew us in your presence. That our life, Lord, would not be one of showmanship. Not one of externals. Not one concentrating on what others see. But may we prioritize your vision, your view of us. Lord, I pray that we would determine to seek you diligently so that your life, your grace, your favor would be on us. You are still a God who blesses those who diligently seek you. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us close to your own self, embrace us, hold us close. I pray, Lord, that you would light our way into the holy place. Because the veil has been rent and every single one in this room has the right to enter into that holy place. Lord, may we not stop in the outer court. May we not linger back in the place, Lord God, and settle for good. Lord, may we press in for the best. May we press in for the sense and the touch of your presence, Lord God. May we not hold ourselves back, Lord God, but give ourselves fully to this obsession that you've called us to. Father, I pray that we would be drawn into your presence. Lord, fill us with testimonies of times in your presence. Instead of talking about the other things that we so flippantly talk about, Lord, may you fill this church with testimony after testimony. It begins with, I was in the presence of the Lord the other day. I was on my knees in intercession the other day. And God showed me this or revealed this about my own self to me. Would you open our eyes into the realm of the Spirit? Let us see beyond the carnal and recognize that there is warfare to be done. There is maturity to be gained. There is more to do, further steps to take. To honor you with our life, that you have not given up on us. My hope, O God, is that you will propel us into this new year by prayer. For some of us, it's easy to wave goodbye to 2007, but Lord, may we look to 2008 prayerfully. What do you have for me this year? What do you have for me this year? Open our hearts. Expand our vision. Blow open the walls, Lord God, in our spirit so we can embrace the fullness of all that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his honor and glory. Amen. Amen. Before we let you go this morning, I want you to find one person. Tap them on the shoulder. You don't have to know their name or their issue. Tap them on the shoulder and say, I'll be praying for you this week. You do that? Lord bless you. Have a great, great day.